Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Planantial's Future Rich podcast, and my name is Barbara Ginty, and I am your host and also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here with my guest today, Adele. Adele, I must say, I love your fake name.
Thank you.
You're
love
welcome.
It as well.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you? And I'm going to specify that you're in upstate New York for our listeners. So tell us how old you are, what you're making, and what you do for work.
I am 28 years old, and my current salary is $47,834.
That's quite an exact number, huh?
Yes, right down to the last dollar. I work for the county district attorney's office where I live, in the county that I live. My title is domestic violence outreach worker. So
wow, that sounds like some pretty heavy work.
Yes, it's definitely, it's, you know, usually when you meet new people, you're like, oh, what do you do for a living? And as soon as I say domestic violence, it's just, oh my gosh, or, you know.
So I had your standard or typical reaction, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So my title, my role entails, I do all the outreach to victims of domestic violence crimes. So I'm specifically in the Special Victims Bureau of the District Attorney's Office. So we get a new case, there's an arrest made, the paperwork comes to our office. As soon as the file's opened, we do the initial outreach to the victims, find out a little bit more about the incident or past incidences that have occurred between them and the defendant, find out some more history of their relationship, mental health, drug abuse.
Do you like it?
I do. I have been doing this type of work. I call it human services, but I guess, you know, more widely known as like social work,
mm-hmm.
for about three and a half years. And I've been doing human services work with other populations since I graduated college.
Very nice. Very nice. And the nice thing about being a government worker is you're going to get a pension, right?
Yes, I am.
You're one of those few people that we have on the show that gets will have a pension.
And hopefully you can explain to me more about it.
Did anyone at work explain it?
So there was my first day, there was a three hour training, not training, okay. But like sort of 3 hour introduction with your HR rep.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mostly here's packet on everything you need to know. I know I'm part of the New York State retirement system. I don't know if that's the same thing as the pension.
Yep. So it comes from New York State. Your pension will be a New York State pension.
Okay. So that was really cool to hear. And basically how many vacation days you get, how you accrue them, and your health insurance, which was my, you know, I really paid attention to that. But other than that, yeah, they didn't really go into detail. I guess they just, you know, so you're a New York State retirement system, and congratulations.
Here's your packet.
Yeah.
You know, so it's great because most most jobs don't offer pensions. School teachers and government employees, and I would say like firefighters and police officers are the most typical jobs that you'll have where you get a pension.
Okay. So and what? Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you know what it means?
No, I was gonna ask what differentiates a pension from a 401k.
Oh, it's a huge difference, but that's a fantastic question. So the difference with a 401k is you save that money for the most part. You're going to be saving that money on your own. And a 401k is actually where it falls in the IRC code. So the Internal Revenue Code, that's the section of the code that explains what a 401k is. That's where that they came up with that. They didn't just pick that up out randomly. Well, maybe the IRS did. But so that's where you find that section in the code. And what a 401k is for usually for-profit companies, and it establishes a retirement plan for the employees. Some companies contribute on behalf of the employees. Some companies just allow the employees to contribute and they don't put any money in. So you don't have access to a 401k because you're a government worker. You have a retirement plan that you can fund on your own, which is deferred compensation. Have you heard of that?
I have, and I didn't elect to go in it when I first started.
We'll see what your answer is after this session.
Okay.
I'm going to try and convince you.
Oh, boy.
and maybe we won't do it this go, but maybe we'll get you in there eventually. It's a New York State's deferred comp is a really good plan.
Okay.
But so basically the biggest difference, so a 401k isn't really like an apples to apples comparison with a pension, because a pension is totally different than a 401k. A 401k would be self-funded. The pension plan, I do believe you probably contribute a little bit out of your paycheck to the pension, but the pension is going to be, they have a way to calculate how much you're going to get in retirement, and it's a factor of number of years worked, what tier you are in the New York State retirement system, and then what your salary is. It's a math formula, and they use and they weight it depending. So usually, do you know what tier you are? You're probably tier six.
Yes, I'm tier six.
Okay. So tier six, that just means what benefits you're going to get. It determines when you joined the retirement system for New York State. So the highest you can be is tier one. They get the most benefits. And most of those people have already retired. There's a few people that are still probably tier one working in New York State. And those people are probably going to be somewhere between the ages of like 55 and older, maybe even 60 and older.
Okay.
So they got in a long time ago. So now anyone who gets hired recently, so, you know, you were hired, what, 3.5 years ago?
Well, I was hired by the county a year and a half ago.
A year and a half. Okay, because you moved into
the... I was doing domestic violence work at a nonprofit before this.
But yeah, so when you got hired a year and a half ago, you came in as tier six, which determines what pension benefit you're going to get. Whether or not you retire with health care, and basically how they're going to calculate the pension benefit.
Okay.
So it determines a lot of what you're eligible for in the New York State system.
Okay. So probably the lower number tier you are, the better.
Actually, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but yeah, so the higher the number, so six is not as good as tier one.
Yeah, that would, I sort of realized that because I looked up the differences, and I remember during that HR 3-hour meeting, they explained your tier six, tier one is essentially tier one is better, and so in better words, they explained it. So,
but the good news is it's still a great system to be in. And as I said, most jobs don't offer, you know, except, you know, there's those handful of civil service jobs that offer a pension. So it's a great thing to have. It's another source of income you're going to have in retirement.
Okay.
So it's great. Yeah. You just want to know how many years you need to be vested in the pension.
I think it's 10 years.
Okay.
For tier six.
For tier six. Okay. So it's something for you to consider, like, down the road, if you're ever looking at leaving your county job, is to think about what you'd be giving up in comparison to what you'd be getting from the new job.
Okay.
Right. Because if you started in nonprofit and you were ever thinking about going back to nonprofit, you wouldn't most likely get a pension from a nonprofit.
Yeah. When I was at the nonprofit, it was a 501c3. Mm-hmm. Which I think is their version of a 401k.
Did they have a 403b?
Sorry. That's what I meant. Take that out.
I love that you're throwing out all these acronyms.
Is like what so a nonprofit
They were a nonprofit, so they were a 501c. That's how they characterized the business.
Yes.
So therefore, they were eligible to offer you a 403b.
That is absolutely correct.
As your retirement. This is going to be like our alphabet soup session. I'm going to drop all of these numbers and acronyms.
All numbers and letters.
Yeah. So no, you're spot on. Because they were a 503c, they were nonprofit, so you had a 403b.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, cool. So, but essentially what you have now with New York State is great. So you're going to have a pension, and then you have access to deferred comp, which is basically the government's version of the 401k.
Okay.
And as we talked about, because you're tier six, depends on what you'll get, but you'll be vested in 10 years. So if you were ever thinking of leaving before 10 years, you just want to see what you're giving up at a pension benefit to make sure that you are compensated for that going forward at the new job, meaning that you'd have to get something better to give up that future retirement benefit, right?
Okay. Well, then I'll have to come back to you.
Don't leave the pension paying job until you talk to somebody.
Yes.
And then I think you get your maximum benefit. It's either usually 20 or 30 years.
Okay. That sounds about right. Just because I hear, you know, those at my job who have been, you know, are almost at their 20 or 25 or something like that.
Yep.
And, you know, they're four more years until, you know, I can retire with full pension and things like that.
Yeah, and it's fantastic because if you think about it, let's just say you started a year and a half ago, so you were 27?
Yes, I just turned 27.
Okay, so when you got your job, you were 27. If you have to do 30 years, sounds like a jail sentence, doesn't it? If you have to do your 30 years.
Don't like to think about that.
But let's say you're to be fully vested and get your maximum pension benefit, you do 30 years, and you probably would have to be a little bit older, but that would only bring you to 57, right? And most people don't retire at 57.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, because of the way, if you think about it, if you work for 30 years and you retire at 57, you're statistically going to have a greater than 30-year retirement.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a long time.
I know, especially nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it, will you save enough in 30 years of working to have 30 years worth of money in retirement? But because you'd want to actually plan for more than 30, because you don't want to wake up on your 87th birthday and be like, I feel like awesome. I'm going to yoga and run out of money.
Yeah.
So you want to take care of your future self and make sure that you have enough saved.
Okay.
So yeah, don't leave your pension paying job before 10 years without doing some serious math to make sure it makes sense.
Okay.
But ultimately, the target with when you get those government jobs, because they're hard to get, is that you stay to get your full pension. Because then typically when you retire, your pension plus what you have saved plus Social Security then will replace what you were making in terms of income.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Some of our state workers actually, when they retire, their pension and Social Security covers their salary totally. So whatever they have saved is just gravy.
That is so nice.
It is really nice.
Oh, man. Well,
We only have a little bit of time to get there.
29 more years.
So what? Okay. So now we went over a little bit about what you have as a benefit as a government employee.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on with your finances?
Oh boy. So I have an IRA.
Okay.
That I set up right after my 25th birthday. My dad, as a birthday gift, gave me $400, and he said, go set up a Roth IRA.
Okay.
And put money into it.
That's a good idea.
So I set up the IRA, and I have not been contributing to it for these past 3 years, almost 4 years.
Okay.
Because I live paycheck to paycheck.
Okay.
And I haven't seen, and in my paychecks that I earn, how I can actually be saving money.
Okay. Well, you know, I think the statistic is 70% of people live paycheck to paycheck.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So let's go over kind of where you are budget wise. And I know everyone hates the word budget, but let's figure out where your money is going and see if we can find anything.
Okay. So I wrote this all out to be a little prepared. Okay. So budget wise, so I started with rent. My rent is $750 a month. That does not include utilities.
Okay.
So I live in a very tiny studio apartment, and I gathered with utilities, so electric and gas, internet comes to about, it varies depending on the month and the season, if my heating is going to be higher or not, between $970 and $1,000 a month for like rent.
Okay, then that's for all your utilities.
And yeah, including utilities. Yes.
Okay.
And then I factored in other expenses such as groceries, mm-hmm. and I include takeout because I do not cook. I'm trying to. 2019 is the year of finding joy in cooking, because
okay.
I'm not one of those people that finds self-care in cooking, but it's cheaper to do than takeout, which I do frequently. So anyway, with expenses such as grocery, like food shopping, gas for my car insurance, I go to therapy twice a month. I'm also, I see a psychiatrist once every 2 months, and I have a cat. So my cat's food and litter, and I have a vet appointment this month. So that'll be something I have to, yeah. And then I have like streaming services. I cut down my streaming services quite significantly, where now I just have Spotify, Hulu, and Netflix.
Okay. So you have the basics.
Yeah. So that comes out, so that is all under expenses. Came out to about $610 a month.
And that's for all the things you just listed.
Correct. Not including rent, but yes.
Yeah, not including rent. Where are you with groceries and takeout?
I want to say about between, and I don't even know what average is, but I think I'm between like 100, I guess 150 to 200, I want to say. Or is that too, I don't know. I don't know whether it's too much or not. But
is that a month?
Yes.
Okay. 200 wouldn't be, that's, if you think of that as a weekly breakdown, that's $50 a month. I feel like that seems like it would be a bit light if you're doing takeout.
Mm. So then I get,
Because if you eat out lunch every day during work and it's $10, there's $50 right there.
That's true. So I would say probably 400, I guess.
I think that would be more reasonable.
Yeah. Which my goal is to cut down.
Yeah, I think that's a great place we can look at to maybe save you some money.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that you need to enjoy cooking, but that maybe you'll enjoy cooking knowing that you're doing something else with the savings.
Right.
Right? Because I hate
cooking.
That's
a good way to frame it, for sure.
Yeah, I don't like cooking, but I always split stuff with myself is the way I think about it. So right now I'm working remote from Salt Lake City, because I bought a season's pass to ski. So the sacrifice I made, one way to help me pay for that, was I'm not eating out.
Okay.
So I don't like cooking either, but you can't do everything all the time.
Yeah.
So for me, for the next few weeks, I'm buying all my groceries. And granted, today I basically just ate peanut butter cups. So like those were the desserts for like the week. So I just ate them all today. So I'll have to start cooking tomorrow.
I don't blame you. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, they're so good. But so you know what I'm saying? So like I don't like cooking either. But if I know I'm cooking because I'm able to do something else with the money.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. So this whole week, I mean, it's only Tuesday. But I would say so Sunday, Monday, and then today, I haven't gotten takeout or anything. I've brought my own lunch to work.
Perfect.
I've made my own dinner. And like what I made Sunday, I had for dinner last night as well.
Perfect. Yeah. And if you know, if you can see the difference by tweaking where your money is getting spent and it's giving you a reward in another area, then I think it's usually easier. And you don't have to do it forever, right?
Right. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. Hopefully we can. I always like to alternate what you're cutting back on so that you're not cutting back on that for a year, but you're cutting back on it for like 3 months, and then you're going to do something else for 3 months, and then you could switch back on and off so that it's not feeling like it's indefinite. Okay, so we're going to put down for $400 for the groceries and takeout and so forth. And then you have Hulu, Spotify, and Netflix. So you don't have cable, which is good, right?
Right.
Because cable is super expensive.
Yeah, I don't. I go, when I go home, my dad has cable. I can't watch commercials. I can't flip through the channels. It's too much.
Too much. So much work. I'm trying to relax.
Exactly.
So, okay. And then where are you? Do you pay for your cell phone?
I am on a family plan.
You and everybody else. Do you know I am the family plan? I got screwed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I pay for everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe that's because I'm a senior. I was told I'm a senior millennial.
Makes sense. Maybe. And also, you're a certified financial planner, so it just sounds responsible.
That's true. I guess it would sound pretty shit if I was, like, going through people's budgets and I was like, my mom pays my cell phone bill.
I mean, when I graduated college, I, in an act of independence and anger and angst, I guess, I went off my dad's cell phone plan and I got my own.
And you were like, what the hell?
I know. And I was on it for like a couple years. And I was like, this is a huge, as soon as like, is a huge mistake, but this is just what I have to deal with. And then I would say maybe two years ago, I reached out to my dad and I was like, listen,
I made a big mistake.
I made a big mistake. I need to go back on. It's going to be cheaper and it's going to be better for everyone. I don't know how I sold it, but he was very gracious and I went back on it. And I keep every couple months, I offer to pay my portion. And even the other week, because I got a new phone, and I said, you know, this is how much mine is going to be, my part of the bill.
Right.
I can pay it. And he's always like, save your money. And I was like, I'm trying. So very fortunate. I don't have to pay my cell phone bill, but I pay pretty much I pay everything else.
You pay everything else. Well, that is good. It is a good deal to be on the family plan. I just joke around because it's always when we're going through budgets, I always ask, because if you're not on a family plan, it can really run like $100.
Yeah. My bill used to be like $110. Yeah.
Which is crazy, because if you're on a family plan, and I know because I pay for a bunch of people, it's like, if anyone wants to be on my family plan, it's like $50 or $60 depending on the phone and the service.
Yeah, I think my portion averages, it's $33.33 a month.
Oh yeah, you're not bad at all.
I chose a phone that was, is what?
Yeah, that one's not bad at all.
Yeah, I looked at the prices of the different phones before I went in, and I chose one that wasn't the cheapest, but it wasn't the most expensive.
My God, I saw a funny meme on Instagram, and it was like a guy's truck, and he had like letters on the back of the cab, and it was like, ask me about how AT&T stole $685 from me. They really charge, and you go in there and you're like, what just happened to me?
Basically.
Okay, good. So you don't have to worry about that expense. So you have groceries, we have rent, we have our streaming services, you have the cat litter, and then your therapist and that mental health well-being spend. And then what about, do you have any debt? Do you have credit cards or student loans?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%. Yes. So let's start with my credit card debt.
Okay.
I totaled it today during my lunch because that was a fun activity to do. And my total credit card debt comes out to $6,883.95. And that is spread out between six cards.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of cards.
But one, two, three of them are like store cards. Like,
oh yeah. I hate store cards. Okay.
It was a huge mistake. I have an Amazon card. Oh, I have an Amazon Prime account, but that's a yearly.
Yeah, that's $10. Yeah, that's less than $10 a month.
Yeah. Okay. But we can add that to my streaming services.
Okay.
And then I have two Capital One credit cards. If I could just curse them out, I would. I looked up what the interest rate is because
that was gonna be my next
signing
question.
Up for it when you're out of college and, you know, you want to go to New Mexico with your friend, but you only have your debit card. So let me just go online and say, I want to get a credit card. And
this credit card debt is from when you graduated college?
Yes.
How long have you been holding on to your credit card debt?
So these credit cards I opened, I wouldn't say right out of college, but I did have one credit card when I was in college that I opened. My dad actually opened it with me. He co-signed for it.
Okay.
Because he said he wanted me to start building credit.
Credit, yep.
So that one I paid off because then I graduated college and then, you know, went into credit card debt. And I paid that one off maybe like 4 years ago.
Okay, so you've had this credit card debt for a while.
I've had this specific credit card debt, I would say, for 3 years.
Wow. Okay. So we should work on getting rid of this.
Oh, 100%.
Are you just paying the minimum? What are you paying monthly for total for all of them? Because are you just paying the minimums?
Yes. Okay. The two Capital One credit cards I have, I haven't been paying them. They're very much delinquent. One of them I did just pay off the minimum to get it back in within the good order.
Yeah.
And the other one I've not done yet just because I haven't been able to with all my other expenses. And there was a lot of, personal life things that came up.
I'm going to kind of jump around a little because I just want to get a better understanding. So we're going to come right back to the credit cards. Where are you with student loans?
I have in total $82,000 in student loans, and that includes 4 years of undergrad, and then I did a year of a master's in social work.
Okay.
And I'm actually going back to school, to grad school, in a couple weeks. I'm starting a new program.
But you're gonna keep working, right?
100%.
Okay, because I almost it took my breath away to think that you would go back to school and take on more loans.
No. No, I'm working. I have. That's why I left the graduate program I was in, just because it wasn't super friendly to those who need to work full time in order
to do it.
But also want to get a higher degree.
Okay. The $82,000, what are you paying on your student loans?
I'm on a income-based repayment plan.
That's what I was going to say. You must be. Okay.
Yeah. So it's $171.37 a month. But I just submitted, because I know you can defer if you're back in school, but still pay like the interest.
Yep.
So I just submitted that form yesterday.
Okay. If you go back to grad school or when you go back to grad school, will that increase your salary?
I don't know. That's a good question. We'll find out.
Because what I'm wondering is, and so your income base, so you, are your loans growing then?
Oh, yes, 100%.
So here's my concern for you.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that the student loan debt, is it federal or is it private? It's federal, right? All of it?
Federal.
Yeah. And all of it's federal. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So all of it is part of the income-based repayment program.
Yes.
Okay. And so when you're paying 171, you're not even paying you're probably not even paying all the interest on it.
No, it's like $1.71 on one loan, you know, $5 on another.
Right.
Yeah.
Because what I'm wondering is, because you typically when you're working in human services, as you specified, your salary is never going to go up that high, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So you'll probably stay in this band with the government. You're going to get set raises typically. So yes. You'll probably, and you'll know more about this, but like someone who's been in your job, let's say 20 years, they're probably making somewhere in the 60,000 range. Sound right? Do you know what the trajectory is?
My specific job, I think the person, whoever's been there the longest in my specific job is maybe like 8 years.
Okay.
But I know there's steady and like income increases for the first 5 years.
Okay.
And then it's like my salary just increased because of the new year.
Because what I'm worried about is, but I can look into it and we could put some post podcast notes, is I thought with the income repayment or income-based repayment program that it was discharged after a certain number of years.
I think that's called like loan forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Because my concern for you is that if it isn't discharged and you keep paying the percentage of your income, the value of your loans is going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
Right. And your job with your career trajectory, I don't believe when you're in a government job, because you get all these great benefits like health insurance and a pension and deferred comp, they typically don't pay, right? They have salary bands for the roles, right, within the state.
Correct.
And so I believe in the role and the human services track that you're going, you're never going to make, you know, a six-figure salary, which is totally fine. But my concern is then the student loans.
Yeah.
Because they're going to continue to grow. You know, $82,000 on whatever the interest rate is will continue to grow based on the payment you're making.
Right. Okay.
So let me do a little digging. We're actually putting together our student loan class. I did think that after a certain time frame that the loans for the federal government, if you were part of the income-based repayment payment, were forgiven after a number of years, like 20 or 25. And if that's not the program you're in, maybe that's something we should look at for you.
Okay.
Because then that means you can continue to put a certain percentage of your salary towards your loans, but that after a set number of years, which 20 or 25 is fine. Let's just say you stay with the government in this role for 30, then your loan, the balance of your loan would be forgiven at that period of time, right, in the future.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't end up owing, let's just say the 82 over the next 20 years grows to be 160. You don't now have a $160,000 loan payment, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to put that down as my... I prefer to give you guys homework, but I'll put that down as my homework to check on that, on the income-based repayment. I do think it gets forgiven. And the one thing I don't think they've dealt with yet, because I don't think anyone's had it forgiven yet, is that would be then treated as income in the year discharged.
What does that mean?
So that means, you know, that was googly gop. Sorry about that. That means that when they forgive your loan, so let's say they forgive $100,000, it's as if someone wrote you a check for $100,000. It's treated as income.
Okay.
So you would get taxed on it.
Oh, okay.
That's a future problem. Not to say that we're not going to worry about that, but let's look and make sure you're in the right repayment program for the federal government, given your job trajectory, your career trajectory.
Should I because my recertification is this month.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, should I do that even though
yes,
I'm deferring because I'm going back to school?
Yes, I would still go in and recertify because what they want to know is your new salary, right?
Yeah.
Because you got the raise. So they're going to, they'll technically what they're going to do is they'll go in and adjust your payment because it's a percentage of your income.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, still do that. I want to just check on it because I want to, I do think it's forgiven after 20 or 25 years. I just want to get you that information and then you can confirm it.
Okay. That would be super helpful.
Yeah. And then it's just one thing to note when we're planning out your future finances is that when it is forgiven, if there isn't any law change, that you'll owe taxes on that. So to plan to save for that tax bill in the future, right?
Okay.
Because let's just say they forgive $100,000, you'll probably owe like $20,000 in taxes.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I know. But if you have a long time to plan for it and we know what's going to happen, right?
Right. That's true.
And we'll hope, to be honest, hopefully they just change the law.
That's the dream.
Well, because you know, when they did all of the press about it, right? It was great. All these new programs for federal loans are going to help everybody out. But what they didn't realize is you also have to coordinate with the IRS.
They forgot that little detail.
They just didn't talk about that.
Yeah. They're like, no one's going to notice.
And to be honest, as a politician, no one did notice, right? Like, that's they're like, true. This is great. And it is great. It's an awesome repayment program. But like, what's the future consequence? Like, is it also going to be great in 30 years when they forgive debt?
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to be on the wrong side of the IRS.
Yeah. Because, like, I just paid off all of this money for my loans, and you get taxed, and they're like, all right, $20,000.
Yeah, because that's a big number.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just estimating. I have no idea if it's going to be $20,000, so let me just say that with a grain of salt. But it's just something to know about. So I'll do a little digging on the income-based repayment program and see what that looks like.
Is that the same as, like, the loan forgiveness?
Yeah, I thought that it would give you some forgiveness. So I'll just double check on that because I don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay.
But so with our listeners, some people I recommend really tackling their student loans and paying it all off. I think given that you have all federal loans and that you're planning on staying, it seems like you're planning on staying in the social work, human services career path.
Yeah, I may not. I don't see myself staying with the specific county job, but I would like to stay within the state, county, or federal system.
Okay.
And my understanding from, you know, those that I work with that have been in the county employee, one of my coworkers who was before she took this position was a state employee and it transferred.
Yep, because you're all within New York State.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I do think the feds do something to coordinate as well.
Yeah, so that's nice that I don't feel like I would be trapped in this one position because there's no room for growth, not just salary-wise, but position-wise in my current position.
In your current position. Yeah, and yeah. I think it's good for you specifically for long-term planning. I think it's good for you to stay within the New York State system so that you get the pension as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think with your career track, with the salary, you'll make a really comfortable living doing it, and you'll do really mm-hmm. rewarding work. And it'll allow you to be on the income-based repayment program with the student loans, so that you're not trying to tackle $82,000.
Right.
Because that would take a very long time with the interest rates.
Yeah. Mm.
But it's just good to be conscious of. I think it's good that you stay in the system, and then knowing that you want to be on the income-based repayment program, which is different than a lot of advice I give to people, because some people, depending on where their salaries are, where they think, you know, they know what they're going to be making, or I sometimes stress that they tackle and just crush their loans. But for you, I think you're better off being on the income-based repayment program.
Okay.
And to try and get it forgiven, knowing that if there is not a law change, you might owe taxes on it. And then we'll deal with that in the future and maybe save to try and offset that future expense.
Okay.
But what we should tackle now, not totally, is the credit cards.
Yep.
Yep. I feel like you knew that was coming.
Oh, I did. Oh, man.
So, okay. So let's go. So what are you bringing in monthly? What is your net coming in monthly? Because you're not contributing to the deferred comp. So it's just they take out a little bit for your union, your pension.
Yes. So what net is what I actually is after taxes, correct?
Yep, your net is after taxes.
So that comes to about, I wrote it down on a different page. So that comes out to about 24, I think it's like 2400 a month.
Okay.
I'm paid bi-weekly.
Okay.
I'll write it down. Maybe I wrote it down somewhere else. Okay. So my paycheck after taxes is, my net pay is $1,285.93.
Okay, so $1,285.93.
Now here's the thing.
Okay.
I just got my pay bumped up. So my gross paycheck is $1,832.72 now. So I get paid Friday, so I won't know. I try to guesstimate like based on what is getting taken out of my taxes now, because I know it's going to go up, because you know the more you make,
yep,
the more they take. So maybe a little around like $1,300 biweekly is what I get. So times two.
So $2,600 a month.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's a good estimate, and if it's higher, then that's extra.
Okay.
But I think that's a good estimate. So $2,600 a month. So if we take out, we just say $1,000 right out of the gate for rent.
Rent.
Okay. And your utilities. So that gets us to $1,600. And then how much does, and we'll just say, even if we said $400 for groceries and takeout, that's $1,200, right? And then how much does it run for the cat, your therapist? I know Hulu, Netflix, Spotify.
Okay. So those I did put, I should check those out. Okay. So my therapist, my copay is 20 a session. So twice a month. So that's 40 a month for therapy. My cat food and litter comes to about $40 a month.
Okay.
All of my streaming services, like Spotify, Hulu, and Netflix together, is about $30 a month.
Okay, plus $10 for Amazon if we just break it down that way.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So that's $120 for the therapist, the cat litter, and streaming services. And then what about car and car insurance and gas?
So I don't have a car payment.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm very, very fortunate with that as well. But my car insurance is $94 a month.
Okay. And do you think gas is like $150?
Yeah. That's what I wrote.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah. I was just trying to think. So $150, and then we'll just say your loan payments are $171, and then we're not going to include the credit cards because we're going to figure out how we're going to do that.
Yeah.
So then we add all that up. So those are the other expenses. Because right now after rent and groceries, we have $1,200 left, right? So let me just take out your other expenses of gas, car insurance, streaming services, and therapist, and then your loan payment. And that gets us to $535. So let's just round up and say that's $600.
That I have left over.
Yep. So if you put $600 a month towards your credit cards, you get done with it in just about 11 months.
Under a year.
Under a year, yeah, absolutely. That's saying there are no emergencies coming up.
Yeah, I mean, in this last 2018 taught me a hell of a lot about emergencies.
And so that's why I would say your key is to get rid of the credit card debt and then build an emergency fund.
Okay.
So put you should probably have about $3,000 just in cash, just so for when those emergencies come up, they don't end up on a credit card.
Okay.
So here's what I would do. All your credit cards, have you investigated doing a 0% balance transfer? So moving it all to one card that has 0% for like 18 months or 12 months?
I've never heard of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You end up paying to do it. So you'll end up paying, I don't know, a few hundred dollars depending on the card and your credit to do that. I would look at it. Because I know you said you weren't paying on one of the cards, you might have to just do a month or two of making consistent payments so that it brings your credit back up.
Okay.
But you can usually do a transfer and move everything onto a 0% APR card. The catch with the 0% APR card, if you do this, is if you're late on a payment, they will charge you a penalty APR that will be way worse than any APR you're paying.
Oh, wow.
So what I recommend when you do this strategy is you want to set it up for an automatic minimum payment every month so that you never miss that.
Okay.
If our goal is $600, just do an auto payment for whatever the minimum is and then manually do the extra payment.
Okay.
But I would try and target in your budget. And so I think your key really, because you know what everything else is costing, I think your key is going to really try and stick to a budget of $100 a week for food and takeout.
Okay.
That's where I have a feeling that that's probably a bit lower if you're living paycheck to paycheck, because based on what we figured out, you have $600 left over. And I think that's really easily eaten up with takeout.
Yeah.
Or this like anything really, out, like drinks.
This is really as nerve-wracking and scary as this is, going over your finances. Just hearing all of this is definitely scaring me into throwing away my takeout menus for the next.
I was hoping to hear it wasn't as scary as you thought.
Well, I'm talking with you and going through it and seeing it written out line by line, it's more helpful. I feel a little more like, okay, someone's walking me through it. You know, it's not like, oh my God, you're going to end up on the street. What are you doing?
No. You could totally do it. Yeah. It's just going to be, I would say that if you really buckle down and like, and made the sacrifices to, because even depending on where your heating bill and stuff is, we gave you $100 wiggle room with your utilities.
Right.
Right. So like if your utilities and rent come in at $950, there's an extra night out for you.
Right.
Or two nights out, right?
Yes. A night.
A night. A big night. Or you could break it into two small nights.
A big night. Dinner and a movie.
Yes, I would just, that's where I would have the wiggle room. I would really just monitor where your money is, what's coming in and what's going out. But I think you'll feel amazing when you get rid of your credit card debt. That's the only real issue that you have.
Yeah, it's not great.
And it's hard to get, it's really, there's no easy way to get rid of it other than to buckle down and commit to paying it off.
Right.
The way like I was just doing a podcast with one of our experts we had on, and he brought up a really good point, which is the time is going to pass anyway.
That's true.
Right? Think about it. Every year, everyone gets excited, sets their New Year's resolutions, and then, but you got to do it every year. So we're going to go through this year, regardless of whether or not you pay it off. But you'll feel much better when you get to the end of the year and you don't have credit card debt.
That is true. I remember the first time I paid off the first credit card I ever had right out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And when I made that last payment, it was like this weight was lifted off my shoulder.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've been dragging this around with you for a number of years.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, you're going to learn that you have control over your finances mm-hmm. and that you don't have to live paycheck to paycheck.
I like hearing that.
Yeah, it's totally up to you. Yeah. I mean, once you get rid of your credit card debt, then you're going to, it's kind of like when you, because you're going to school again, you know, when you go back to school, because I had to take my CFP at night.
Yeah.
You don't know how you're going to do it, right? Because you're working and you're like, okay, so I was like, I'm going to study every night from 7 to 10. Well, then when you stop studying, you're like, what am I going to do with all this time?
Yeah, that's true.
Because you fit it in. So once you get your credit cards paid off, you're going to be so used to having that you're going to have $600 in your budget that you don't have to allocate towards a credit card repayment. So then
and
you
I can actually build up a savings.
Yeah, you can build up a savings. And then you're not going to feel so stressed out because if there is an emergency and your car gets towed or you need new tires, it's not going to be this dread in your stomach because you're like, oh, I've already planned for it. I have the money set aside.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're just this, you suck it up for a year and then you take control back of your finances.
How do I go about, I can always Google it, but
looking into a 0% AP card. I really like, and I don't endorse them, but I really like Credit Karma.
Oh, okay. I know them.
You just go online and they tell you what you're eligible for. So you just want to look for a 0% APR card. I think the target should be to try and get this done in a year that being said, if something comes up, I would look for one if you can for 18 months, just in case there's a month where there's an emergency and you don't have the 600 to put towards it. You just do your minimum payment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't tech. So as long as you make a payment,
you have to, you just can't. Month. Yeah. You have to make a payment.
Well,
you
don't at have least to make the minimum.
Yeah. You don't have to do 600. What I would want to do is have you have it paid off in the time that's 0% APR.
Yeah. Which is 18 months.
Yeah, so if we get it to 18 months, so I would try and tackle it earlier, and then you always have that extra leeway if it takes 13 versus 12 months, you know?
Okay.
That's it gives good. You a little more wiggle room in case there's a 1 month you can't make the payment or 2 months. You don't have to worry about getting done right in 12. It gives you the 18-month window. But you want to make sure that a minimum payment is always set up. You don't ever want to miss a payment with one of those cards.
Okay. That's good advice.
Yeah. Does that sound good?
Well, yeah, so... So I would get the credit card and use that credit card to pay off all of these?
No, actually a little different. You would open that credit card and you would do what's called a balance transfer. You would transfer all six cards, all the balances, over to that one. So you only have one credit card with a balance on it.
Okay.
And you'll pay for, they're going to charge you for the balance transfer, and that's okay.
Do you, is it like what's that amount usually?
It's usually like a percentage.
Okay.
They'll charge. Or sometimes it's a flat rate. It just depends on the credit card.
Okay.
So it's usually a couple $100s. I'd say it's probably going to be between $100 and $300, something like that.
For the balance transfer.
Yep.
Okay.
So, and then you can call the companies and tell them what you want to do and find out what it will cost. Like, what is the balance transfer cost? How long do I have 0% APR?
Okay.
But Credit Karma usually gives you an idea of what you're going to be approved for.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
But as I said, you might need to, before you can do it, because you haven't been paying on one of the cards, you might need to make a payment the next month or two before you're eligible.
To get back in good graces.
Yeah, you have to get back in those good graces with those credit companies.
Yeah.
You got to show them you're going to be a good client.
It's like, you can trust me now.
I swear, I'm going to pay you. But so that would, I would say that would be my plan for you. So I would really track it. I think $100 a week for food, if you're not eating out, you can totally do as a single person.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you need to find, I mean, I don't find joy in cooking, but I find joy in the things that I get to do because I am cooking.
That's true. I know I had a friend suggest listen because I enjoy listening to podcasts on my way to work and at work. So they suggested, well, why don't you do that with cooking? Because it's, you know, a nice distraction, you're entertained. And then next thing you know, you've made a meal.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. No, I like it. And then what I'll do is I'm going to look into the income-based repayment, and then we're going to put that as the podcast notes, exactly which program you're in and how it works for all of our listeners so that we can get
that, answered.
Alrighty. Well, Adele, thank you for being on our show. I hope this is helpful. And for all of our listeners, you can check out our online classes at www.planential.com. We are launching a new student loan class and running a special till April where you get $50 off if you use the coupon code MONSTER. And that's it.
Ah, spring. Nothing like the world progressing towards summer to inspire your own progress. That's what life's all about. In your career, relationships, and your finances. Let's talk about that last one. With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest. And if your credit score grows, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or home. Sounds like progress, right? With Chime Secure Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.